And it's dark, and it's dangerous, and it's scary, and our brothers and sisters are over there, off of an aircraft carrier at night, and no one's cheering for them. In fact, it's quite the opposite reaction they're getting.
You know, that is Commander Frank Weiser, who did an interview with Blab when they were covering the Summer Beach Show back in 2018. And of all the things that he and Boss McWhorter talked about in that show, about the way the Blues fly and what it means and how they do and all that stuff, I think that was probably the most important comment. I think he would agree with me about it, is that while the Blues are flying here and we watch them, we celebrate them, we love them, it's a reminder that all of these men and women are flying in defense of this country all over the world in uncomfortable, difficult situations, and nobody's cheering for them. And so when you cheer for the Blues, remember who you're really cheering on. In fact, joining us now, we have Commander Frank Weiser. Walleye is a call sign. He flew for the Blue Angels on two different tours, and he joins us now on the phone. Frank, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Always. I have been wanting to have you on for a while, and of course, the timing of it turns out to be just about right, because after you left the Blue Angels, you were one of the key personnel working with first Captain Bernacki and then again with Captain Doyle, who were themselves the flight leaders number one for the Blue Angels. And you having been a soloist, we brought the other perspective to the transition to the Super Hornet, which is what you've been working on for the last couple of years, right?
That's exactly right. Yep, we've been trying to have a very well laid out and methodical plan to moving from the legacy F-18s to the Super Hornets, to do so in a safe and professional manner. And we've just finished that. In my opinion, the finish line was the first week of April when the team had their first show in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah, this was such a long time coming. I mean, this was, you know, every year it was kind of a, will it be this year? Will it be next year? When will the official thing begin? And I was actually listening to some of our old Summer Beach shows from a couple of years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, and thinking, we were talking about it then. You know, this has been a long process. So for people who maybe, let's start here. For people who don't understand, like, why was it such a process to get transitioned to the Super Hornet? What is the difference that made it so you couldn't just have five pilots 1 year or six pilots 1 year jump in a plane and then the next year jump in the other plane and then just go do the same stuff?
Sure. Yeah, it really was about a 5 year process. We identified this as the plan and the way forward back in late 2015, early 2016. And what was interesting to me as the person sort of running this process in the background was that it actually takes this long all the time, and that the team transitioned before, while I was on the team as a junior officer in 2008, 9, and 10, but we went from the A and the B model to the C and the D model, although those aircraft performance and size-wise are so similar that you can fly them in the same air show. In fact, we had shows where we had an A, a B, a C, and a D all flying together at once. But that process also took about 5 years, and for us, what it basically amounted to was identifying throughout the Navy which airframes, the actual aircraft, a certain number that refers to that particular airplane, which ones we were going to use, and making sure that it would best suit the Navy, that we were taking the right ones and we weren't taking the airplanes the warfighters needed. We were taking the ones that weren't being used or that were optional for us and not for anyone else. And once we identified those, putting them through a process that got them back up to speed. Some had been sitting out in hangars were not being used in depots for years and years. And then the actual process, once we had the aircraft, to get it ready for Blue Angels air shows is fairly complicated. And moreover, it had not been done for the Super Hornet. So we had a lot of engineering required to make sure we knew how to add our inverted fuel pumps and how to add our smoke pressure system and our smoke tanks and the paint and the decals and some important things and some maybe not important things, but all the way down the line to make sure it works for the new airplane.
So for people who are just this weekend going to see the Rhinos in action, the Super Hornets in action, what differences should they expect?
I think the most obvious right away is they're bigger. And if you happen to see any of the pictures of what they're calling the Super Delta, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds together, we've done that in the past. We did it over Pensacola Beach a few years ago. But what's really striking now when you see the Blue Angel Delta and the Thunderbirds all in formation is just how large the Super Hornets, which we call Rhinos, how large they are compared to the F-16 Vipers. So the airplane is bigger. And that, of course, is a vicious cycle of airplane building. One of the limiting factors of the legacy F-18 was they didn't have enough fuel for what we needed it to do, not Blue Angels, but in combat. And so to build an aircraft with more fuel, it has to be bigger to hold the fuel. But then to make it bigger, you have to have bigger engines. And then the bigger engines take more gas. And so then you need more gas. And you can find yourself in this cycle where the airplane just gets bigger and bigger, but you never have more fuel. But in the case of the Super Hornet, it was really well engineered and put together. And it does have more fuel. And it benefits us in the air show for sure. And so you'll notice that in turn, it's also louder, because to even achieve the same amount of thrust in a term of per weight, you have to have a bigger motor. So the airplanes are bigger and louder, and that'll be the first real added benefit to our air show. I think you'll see. We've made some small changes to the maneuvers. The Diamond have made some small ones, and the Solos have made some small ones, but I think it would take a pretty active Blue Angel fan to maybe notice some of the differences. It was important to us, and a very often stated goal, that we just flew our air show that we knew and loved, and we did it exactly right, and we did it safely and professionally, and that we flew that show as best we could in the new airplane, made sure that it could do it, and that we weren't alarmed by any adverse flight characteristics or anything unexpected from the new aircraft, and that once we did it, then we would look to changing things and try to take some capabilities in the new airplane. So hopefully it looks really similar, just new aircraft.
Well, when you say bigger and louder, I'm immediately in, and of course that's what I've been expecting. We're talking to Commander Frank Weiser. He is formerly with the Blue Angels on two different tours. He actually came back to the Blues to take up the remainder of the tour that Captain Kuss was not available to fulfill because, of course, of his terrible death and crash, which we're all familiar with. But he was the one that came in and filled in for him when that happened, and he's been working on the transition to the Super Hornets for the last couple of years. One thing I wanted to just ask you briefly about, when I talked with Captain Bernanke several different times about this, the question had come up, were there any maneuvers that were a challenge based on the weight and the thrust capabilities? And the one that kept coming up over and over again was, and pardon me if I get the term wrong, but it's when you're all in a line and you're doing a roll around the number one aircraft, that there was just a concern that that's a far more difficult maneuver than people realize thrust-wise. But that one turned out to be acceptable, is that right?
Interesting. So I'm not exactly sure. There's certainly a handful that we were I don't want to say concerned about, but put a lot of effort into making sure we had proper procedures for anything that might ever go wrong.
Yeah.
And so there's one where the four Diamond aircraft roll around the flight leader, and that's one that they've actually made some small changes that they now call it, instead of the left echelon roll, the changeover roll. And that's one of the ones I said maybe a very active Blue Angel fan might notice a small change there.
Sure.
But to avoid having this rapid roll rate around and the aircraft's, the fact that it's so much larger, there is a slight change there. And then from a perspective of doing a loop following the boss, whether it's all six airplanes or all four, that shouldn't have changed very much, certainly not to anyone watching, but our procedures might have changed slightly in terms of how we use speed brakes, how we use power, and how we use the stick to float the turn over the top. But once again, these are fairly nuanced, and also even as air crew, not terribly different in terms of the procedures.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Last quick thing, and I guess I didn't realize this. I thought you had transitioned out of the Navy already and were doing this as a civilian consultant, but this, in fact, is your last tour just now. You're finishing up last flight this week, and then you're retiring. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, it's been a process where it very much mattered to have some Blue Angel experience go through this process. In the past, when this transition was done from the A4 to the original F-18s in the mid-80s, it was essentially the test pilots up at Pax River who did all the work. And unfortunately, in doing so, there was what we call CFIT, but control flight into terrain, and the terrain in that case was water. But one test pilot perished, and the other barely survived. And so what we had looked to do this time was let airshow pilots be airshow pilots and test pilots be test pilots. And essentially what that meant is the test pilots took all of our maneuvers that we did into this new airplane and tested them, but at high altitude in a flight regime and environment they were comfortable and used to. And then once they were satisfied the aircraft could safely perform the maneuvers, then Blue Angel pilots would actually go perform them at low altitude in an environment that we're comfortable with.
Got it.
And then we had a constant back and forth. And so that's been going on for 3 years. And at first we didn't have the airplanes ready, so it was a lot of simulator work. But the simulator in Pax River, where the test site is unbelievable. In my opinion, it's a game changer. We have the same spring in that sim that we use in our aircraft. You know, I'm sure you know we fly with a fairly heavy spring that allows us to fly close. And the software is the same in the sim. Way before we had the software ready for the aircraft, it was ready for the sim. And we have this ability in there to do rapid repeats of maneuvers where we can just reset it and do it again and reset it and do it again. And then the best part of all is that I could have Guido would get in there or Popeye would get in there and fly the diamond profile. And in the sim, they can overlay an actual diamond, whether they're in the diamond formation or in the echelon formation. And then the solo pilot, number five, can go fly it with them right there and join up on them and fly rolls and loops and then integrate with them and record that. And then the number six pilot can go in there and fly opposing maneuvers with number five. And it's incredibly realistic and very accurate. And it gave us unbelievable data on what we were doing and how to do it better.
I love it. And, you know, it didn't cost you any gas in the process, which is always an advantage. Well, Commander Frank,
the cost savings was remarkable.
And what's that now? And no engine miles either. Exactly right.
You're very perceptive in that. The cost savings for us was huge.
Absolutely. Commander Frank Weiser, Walleye is the call sign, retiring after a career of service in the Navy. I will give you one brief moment, however, because I did get a bird whisper in my ear that maybe you had an underachieving example of Scattergories this week that maybe, you know, do you want to defend yourself? I heard.
Perhaps we're socializing with another excellent angel who also, his moral compass doesn't point true north sometimes when it comes to Scattergories.
I'll take that to the source and we'll see what happens. Commander Frank Weiser, Walleye, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thank you for the service. Thanks for flying for the Blues and for being available to us. I really appreciate it.
All right. We appreciate it, Andrew. Take care.